under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Arlington at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll have a brief monologue, and after the monologue, our lines will be open. We'll invite your call, comments, dialogue, and discussion. We're talking about a unique subject, a unique issue today. Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? We're discussing this primarily because of a new bill that was passed in this House and as it the Senate that can prosecute, persecute, imprison, and fine Christians if we preach and teach the truth of the Word of God. Now listen carefully. The new bill rushed through as a knee-jerk response to the anti-Semitic move that's waving across America, born out of the high criticism of the Marxist professors in our colleges and universities, now bearing fruit through the students that are marching and demonstrating, destroying buildings, campuses across the nation, waving the Palestinian flag, as it is called. By the way, there's no such thing as an ethnic people known as Palestinians. There's no Palestinian state, never has been. Nevertheless, that anti-Semitic bill that was passed can be very dangerous for Christians, for pastors, churches, Christian organizations, religious schools, etc., if the Bible is proclaimed and misunderstood in the intent. So we're talking about the who killed Jesus. We'll be looking at the monologue in relationship to the new bill that was passed, what it does and what it does not do, and why we need to be concerned as Christians. But then the trickle down is answering the question, who killed Jesus? Several possibilities. We'll look at them, but let me just run down that little checklist first. Who killed Jesus? Was it Pilate? Was it the soldiers that mocked him, struck him, robed him, took him out, placed the nails in his hands and his feet on the cross? Who killed Jesus? Was it the Sanhedrin? According to the Bible, they were the Supreme Court of that day. They heard Jesus' case, then remanded him over to Pilate to be tried. Who killed Jesus? Was it the Jewish people? Who killed Jesus? Was it all of the above? Was Jesus killed by the people, the king, the soldiers? Who killed Jesus? That's the question today, and it relates inextricably to the new bill that was passed that I think is very, very dangerous, a knee-jerk passing of legislation that did not need to be passed, but it was, and it can redound to major harm and danger and damage to the Christian churches in the United States of America. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the truth book. As Jesus speaks to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? It is forever. We can watch so-called the bifurcation of truth, the narrowing down and the paring away of truth, and some call it truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place on a rampant scale in America today. If it's political, social, economic, biblical, theological, doctrinal, or any realm of truth that you stand on, you'll have those that want to accuse, abuse, disavow, disallow, and dis, as the world is calling it now, the simplistics of truth. Truth matters regardless of whether you think it does or not. Truth matters regardless of your thoughts and relationship to it. I'm looking at a meme. It says the more you research truth, the crazier you sound to ignorant people. Now, there are a lot of folks today that will say that if you speak the truth, even when you speak the truth in love, that somehow, some way, it is wrong. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement in part. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever you believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. The latest survey, ladies and gentlemen, shows that 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55%, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. 55% of the millennials say, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, half truth's a whole lie. No such thing as different versions of truth. It's either truth or it's not truth. And I believe that's, how would you say, a truth, if I can use the play on the words, that needs to be advocated in the world today. There are multitudes today that think that somehow, some way, because they watch the Communist Network news, they're getting truth. There are those today that will repeat what they hear on the CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, etc., not realizing it's not truth at all. In fact, a good illustration of that, I rolled the dial the other night watching some news to find some news, and I found they were talking on Fox News, they were talking about the Trump's trial and the fake, phony farce that it is, and just rolled the dial a few notches over and get to CNN, the Communist Network news, and they were immediately talking about how dangerous Trump is, how if he is president, he will destroy America, etc., 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 as though he wears horns. You would think we're on two different universes, two different planets with what you hear on news. We need to be very, very careful on what we listen to. That's the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. The challenge is that we listen to, learn, live, tell, and stand for truth and defend it, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, whether you recognize it or not, we're on the fast track to the last of the last days where our lives will very easily be challenged if we stand on truth. If it's nothing else, just peel everything away. If we stand on nothing but the truth of the Word of God. And I say to each and every person, we need to look at everything that's happening nationally, internationally, and globally through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? What does it tell us? God has pre-written history in advance that we'll know exactly what God is saying and what God is doing. And that brings joy and peace, comfort and satisfaction that the world cannot provide. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. U.S. flag Old Glory is flowing 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole. Based on that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the house of the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, who killed Jesus? If you will be kind enough to limit your calls to that question, love to hear your dialogue and discussion on it. As you've studied the scripture, if you heard your pastor and other pastors and preachers preach and teach on the subject of the death, burial, and the resurrection, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's to blame? There's 7 or 8 different potentialities and possibilities. We're going to cursorily look at them today and make a decision, who killed Jesus. And the reason we're talking about that today, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at a challenge today, morally, ethically, politically, and spiritually. And I believe America is faced with some of the most immoral, ungodly, heathen, demonically controlled spiritual leadership decisions that I've seen in my lifetime. And as I've said so often, I'm still under 100 years old. Our nation will not survive, ladies and gentlemen, if we continue to diminish and undermine, tear down, and destroy the very foundations that our nation's built on. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I don't know if you've pondered that. If our biblical foundations are eviscerated, there will be no church, no freedom of religion, no freedom of speech, no right to keep and bear arms. If we destroy the very foundations that our nation is built on, we'll have nothing. On every hand, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing local, state, and national governments issuing new edicts, new executive orders out of the Oval Office, new legislation. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that today we have the Patriot Act? Let me pause for a moment. The Patriot Act. Perhaps you say, well, what difference does that make? George Bush pushed the Patriot Act through in an knee-jerk response to 9/11. And today, the Patriot Act is being used to eavesdrop on and censor human beings in America. And it was designed and inculcated to eavesdrop on, listen to the potentiality of outside danger from international people or individuals or organizations that would want to destroy America. But it's being used today to censor, to eavesdrop, and to listen to everything that you say and I say as American citizens. The intent might have been good. I'm against knee-jerk legislation. I'm against passing legislation and burdening the American citizen. By the way, just as a little curiosity statement, this was in, I believe, 2022, the actual statistical numbers that across America, with local legislation, state legislation, and federal legislation, we pass about 250,000 new laws every 12 months. And yet we don't take any off the books. In fact, it's right comical. In New York City, there's still a law that's on the books that says that if you leave your dead mule on the curb for more than 24 hours, you'll be fined $3. Because we keep placing laws, burdensome laws, on the books for the American citizens. Just like with gun legislation, thousands and thousands and thousands of new laws have been passed to control guns. You can't control a wicked heart. Jeremiah 17:9 talks about the heart being deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? It's the wicked heart that uses a weapon, whether it's a rock, a baseball bat, a knife, or a pistol to kill someone. It's the heart, not the weapon. It's an inanimate object. It cannot kill someone without a finger pulling that trigger. But ladies and gentlemen, the point being, we're looking at new legislation, new laws, and the tweaking of laws. I've said for many, many, many years, it's not the law necessarily that causes the problem, but it's what I call the enabling legislation. Once the law is passed, the bureaucrats behind closed doors in a smoke-filled room will decide how it can that law can be enforced, how it can be interpreted, and what the lawyers say about it, and how it should be carried out as far as the impartation of the punishment for those that break that law. That's what we see taking place every day as we see new laws passed. Right now, for example, Title IX went into effect for the Department of Education. By the way, America didn't have a U.S. Department of Education until 1973 under Jimmy Carter. And we had higher education before we had the U.S. Department of Education than we're having now with the U.S. Department of Education. So if you look at that and understand the trickle-down, the U.S. Department of Education has nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, to do with education. It has all to do with political control of the mind of the child for brainwashing and in the indoctrination of our kids in school. And right now, Title IX was designed, I believe it was in 64 or 68, I'm not looking at the date at the present time, in the 1964 or 68, it was designed to protect based on race, nationality, and sex. And now Joe Biden, listen carefully, we're getting into the meat of the subject. Joe Biden has now tweaked Title IX so that in Title IX, it will allow wannabe males, wannabe females, whichever sex you choose, to go in the opposite sex bathrooms. I'm looking at the headline, Biden dismantles the Trump-era Title IX rules, sidesteps issue of trans athletes in girls' sports. The Biden administration has unveiled the rules aimed at safeguarding, they call it, the LGBTQ students and changing the way in which sexual harassment and assault claims are adjudicated on campus. The new provisions are part of the revised Title IX regulations issued by the U.S. Department of Education, fulfilling a campaign pledge of President Joe Biden to revamp those issues. Here's the bottom line. A school must not, I'm reading from the regs, a school must not separate or treat people differently based on sex, except in limited circumstances, under the provisions, and critics say that the changes will allow locker rooms and bathrooms to be based on gender identity. That male student can be passing the girls' bathroom and decide, I feel feminine today, and go in. And that would be applicable, ladies and gentlemen, listen up carefully, that would be applicable for every school, kindergarten through high school and university levels, every school, secular school, religious school, charter schools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if any federal or state dollars are used in that educational process. This article goes further in reading that. Based on gender identity, LGBTQ students who may possibly face discrimination will be entitled to a response to the Title IX, and those failed by their schools can seek resources or recourse from the federal government. In other words, to put it in plain language, if it's in a school where a student feels that somehow, some way, he or she's been deprived of the loose, lax, lost liberals' privilege of going into any bathroom, locker room, shower room, dressing room of the girls, then they can process a claim against the school and the federal government will step in and try the case. Now, that's going to destroy the morals and ethics and values, what lives left in our nation's school system. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very dangerous, and yet we see this taking place today. In fact, it's bad enough that the Biden administration has been pushing out the butchery of healthy body parts with teenagers and those younger generation today, based on the idea that the transgenderism is the way to go. In fact, the Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, is using American tax dollars to promulgate the transgenderism in India and other parts of the world where we might provide any benefits, financially speaking. Part of the strings attached is they must implement some type of transgenderism and the mandated surgeries by the physicians and the medical associations. And ladies and gentlemen, there are many churches today, many denominations that the woke pastors with the pop-up preaching, the pop-up teaching, and the goosebump theology, where they have embraced this woke theology, this woke culture that's embracing that LGBTQ mindset that's destroying churches and destroying lives of those that otherwise are not knowledgeable of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's the point. The bill that's been passed by the House now waits the Senate confirmation. And Biden has already said if the bill is signed, bill is passed, he'll sign it. That puts Christians in the lurch. So we're here today to talk about who killed Jesus. We've got Dr. Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps is a Bible professor in Conservative Theological University. I'm thankful that he's taken time out of his schedule today to join me. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here. We're looking forward to your insight on this question, who killed Jesus? So thank you for joining us today.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I'm so thankful for the privilege we have to serve the Lord in this way.
It's a joy to invite our listeners to join the dialogue and discussion. Let me do that once again. Perhaps you've got insights before we even get into the meat of the subject. Perhaps you've got questions about it. What have you been, listen, we're talking to you, our listening audience. What have you been taught about the crucifixion of Jesus? Who killed Jesus? Was it the Jewish people? That's what this law, knee-jerk law, has been passed to prevent anti-Semitic theology, doctrine, teaching, words. You know, they've taken free speech that we're guaranteed in our Bill of Rights. They've twisted it, perverted it, bifurcated it. And now there's such a thing as hate speech, not found in the Constitution, but hate speech. And now they're deepening the thought of hate speech to come down to the fact that it's going to include thought police. That if you say something, your thoughts behind it, for example, if your pastor would stand in the pulpit, or if you're teaching a Sunday school class, that the Jewish people killed Jesus, and there are many that teach that. Is that true? True or not? If that is done, it can be viewed as being anti-Semitic and prosecutable under federal regulations and federal law. So, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Phelps and I are going to be talking about it, and it's my prayer that you'll call in, join the dialogue and discussion on that, because the question is, did Pilate kill Jesus, the religious leaders, the Jewish people, the soldiers, the Pharisees, the Christians, the Roman government? Who killed Jesus? That's the question. 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read you just a blurb. It says, House adopts the anti-Semitic bill despite worries it criminalizes biblical beliefs. In an abrupt effort to address the anti-Semitic violence that has engulfed many American university campuses in recent weeks, the U.S. House just adopted a new Anti-Semitism Awareness Act after ignoring concerns that the plan actually could threaten free speech and make Christians who adhere to the biblical account of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection subject to conviction, prosecution, and conviction. This article goes further. The bill purports to try to curb hate speech, and while it passed and now is headed to the Senate, a bipartisan coalition says it was ill-conceived and actually is very dangerous to free speech. Margaret Taylor Greene, for example, says she condemns the anti-Semitism, but it will be wrong for the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act today that could convict Christians of anti-Semitism for a belief the gospel that says Jesus was handed over by Herod to crucify Jesus carried out by the Jews, end quote, for the statement in this article. The gospel itself would meet the definition, listen, the gospel itself will meet the definition of anti-Semitism under the terms of this new bill. The bill says the definition of anti-Semitism includes contemporary examples of anti-Semitism. One of those examples includes claims of Jews killing Jesus. They explicitly stated that one of those anti-Semitism examples claims that Jews killed Jesus. The Bible is clear, this writer says. There's no myth about the controversy on this, therefore I will not support the bill, this one legislator said. Representative Thomas Massey also opposed the plan. He said the law is vague and doesn't even include the definition of anti-Semitism, but leaves the door open for interpretation. Ladies and gentlemen, with every law that's passed, many times the law might seem clean and lean and good, but the way it is then by the enabling legislation of how it's going to be enacted, how it's going to be carried out, what will be the trigger that will make a law become a hammer in the hand of someone that's prosecuting it based on that law. So I challenge you today, answer the question. We'd love to hear from you. 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Who killed Jesus? Dr. Phelps, start us off with your thoughts.
One of the things I would like to say, first of all, is that we love the Jewish people because they are the apple of God's eye.
Amen. Jesus was a Jew.
Yes, Jesus himself is a Jew. He has Jewish heritage, lineage. He goes all the way back to Abraham. And so we love the Jewish people. And anything we say here at this institution, then will be only that which is found in the scriptures and describing the scene of the crucifixion. And that would include the Jewish leaders who accused Jesus before Pilate and brought him, desiring that Pilate take care of Jesus by crucifixion.
Yes. In fact, let's just look at the whole gamut of Jesus' crucifixion. Let's go back and back and back a little, rather than getting right to the date, the time, the event of the crucifixion. Why was Jesus arrested? What brought it to that head? What took place that was greed and, there were several things, greed and envy and jealousy, depending on the person of the persons. But what literally took place that brought it about, that caused Jesus to be arrested and then tried, prosecuted, persecuted, and then put to death? What brought that about? What's the backstory, Dr. Phelps?
One of the things that caused the problem and the division there with the Jewish leaders was that the Jewish leaders could not understand Jesus' words. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't understand the truth he was speaking. And many of them would hear Jesus say of himself that he is the Son of God.
Yes.
They had trouble with that because they didn't know the scriptures, first of all. They had trouble understanding the scripture. And when he would say things like that, then they became very angry and were ready to throw rocks at him.
That's right.
As we would say today, stone Jesus. And they couldn't understand how a man could claim to be God.
That's right.
When Jesus said, I and my Father are one, for example, they couldn't understand that language because they didn't understand the scriptures, the prophetic scriptures, like in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where the Messiah and his birth were promised, that he would be born of a virgin.
Yes.
A very special way of entering into the human life. And God predicted that, and it was fulfilled in the virgin birth of Christ that's described for us in the book of Luke, chapter 1. And as we look at that, we find that they had then difficulty agreeing with Jesus.
Yes.
Was this animosity, this envy. He was preaching, and he was getting a lot of crowds.
Yes.
And they had this envy, and they were concerned that Jesus would attract too much attention from the Romans. The Romans would come and take them out of their office.
Yes, that was one of the major problems. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we're going to continue our thoughts today. Who killed Jesus? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.